Pleasant evening to you in YouTube land. We're delighted you tuned in tonight and that we can study the Word of God together. If you'll take your Bible and turn to the Old Testament, to the prophet Malachi, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. The book of Malachi, the last prophet before the days of John the Baptist. And when you come to the book of Malachi, if you will, look in chapter 1 and beginning at verse 6. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts to you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. But now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. For from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the nations, said the Lord of hosts. In the Old Testament, we find that they worship God in a way that is different from the way we worship God under the New Covenant. They were to offer up animal sacrifice, and this came as a cost to the one making a sacrifice. It was to be the best they had. We read that from the book of Leviticus and the first chapter and about verse 3, that the lamb was not to have spot or blemish, but the animal was to be the best that they had. And you were to give the God of heaven what was the best you had and not just what was left. However, as we know in the book of Malachi and the first chapter, the people were bringing God that which cost them nothing or very little. Look again in Malachi 1 at verse 8 and notice at this particular time that Malachi says that you're bringing God your leftovers. You're not bringing God your best. You're bringing God something that cost you very little. He said, when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? He said, your governor wouldn't take such, and yet you're trying to pass this off as a sacrifice to the true and living God. And notice that God said in verse 11, I have no pleasure in you, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. He said, I will not accept that which is not your best. Now then, God made certain charges, and the people said, we don't see how we're doing this. But on this occasion, though they denied it, God went forth with the charge. And I want you to notice the attitude of the people of that day and time. The attitude of the people was that God condemned the sacrifices they brought, and yet they said something is better than nothing. And notice God does not accept that view. God will not accept a token gift, as you will. God said, you expect me to accept this? And so their attitude was they assumed God would be happy with little, that God should be happy they did anything at all, that something is better than nothing. And they thought any worship will do. They ignored God's instructions. They didn't reverence God nor see his holiness. Now, they did not argue that God deserved to be worshipped, and they did not argue that God deserved a sacrifice. They were willing to give a form of worship. However, they did not do as God divinely instructed them, but they did as they desired and not as God commanded. They gave the sick, the lame, the blind, and that was an insult to the God of heaven. Gave what they did not want and say, here, God, you should be grateful I did anything at all. You should be grateful that I gave you something. And I want to tell you, my beloved friend, God said, I will not accept that sacrifice. In fact, the business, he said, take it to your governor. It would be an offense for him, and I'll tell you, it's an offense to me when you put it on my altar. But notice, secondly, God says in verse 8, through his prophet Malachi, it was evil. They assumed some form of service was better than none. And God said, I would rather you not offer a sacrifice at all than to insult me with a gift that is a mere token and not what I've commanded. Then if you take your Bible in the book of Malachi in the first chapter, notice a statement that's very powerful. In Malachi chapter 1, when the prophet is writing, notice what he says from the word of God. He said in verse 10, who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? Now God said he would rather the doors of the temple be shut than for someone to come in and offer up a sacrifice that was not acceptable. And he said, is there not somebody who would shut the doors to keep you from worshiping me in vain? Now, I want you to think about that in the New Testament. Take your Bible and look in the Revelation letter and the third chapter. And Lord willing, we'll make a study of this again in more recent days, but I want you to look in Revelation 3. And notice that you'll find there's a church identified as Laodicea. And Jesus charged them that they were lukewarm. He said, you're neither cold nor hot, but lukewarm. And because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. You know what the problem was? They were comfortable. They knew all about lukewarmness. Their water source was from several miles away that came through aqueducts. And by the time it arrived, it was lukewarm, tepid. And Christ said, your problem is you're comfortable. I would rather you be cold or hot. Your very coldness could drive you to the fire. But because you are apathetic and because in your mind you've done enough, you do not consider that you are worshiping me in vain. And he said, I'll tell you what, my friend, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. Question, does that sound like saved people? People who are just apathetic? People who just go through the motions? People who don't truly love God? They just go through a routine and say, well, God, you ought to accept it. I've done something that's more than what the rest of the world's doing. And God said, I'll tell you one thing, that makes me sick. In the 51st Psalm, you'll remember that God wants the heart of man. He does not want half-hearted service. Now then, I want to take that. Need to make application in the lesson years. First thing we need to remember is, what's the purpose of the church? The purpose of the church is to worship God in spirit and in truth. You know, years ago, the March of Dimes started what was the March of Dimes for infantile paralysis or polio. And you remember they would go down the street and ask for just a dime so they could find a vaccination for that particular disease. But you know, when they found a cure and a vaccination, do you know that the March of Dimes didn't quit? The March of Dimes just changed their purpose. But do you know there's a lot of churches that try to do the same thing? Instead of trying to use the gospel to bring people to Christ, they'll change everything under the living sun. And I'll tell you, my friend, it would be better to shut the doors to every church that has the name of Christ on it than to change its purpose. The purpose is to give God glory. And we need to worship God as he is directed. In Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, you remember that Jesus said he is the head of the church. He is the one who died for it. He paid for it with his own blood. He has the right to dictate the terms of worship. Secondly, God is displeased when worship isn't fully from the heart. And God is displeased with what we might call false worship. Take your Bible and look in the book of Matthew and the 15th chapter. And when you come to the book of Matthew and the 15th chapter, notice what Jesus said in verse 7. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their heart, notice, is far from me. Now, you know, my friend, we can sing praises tonight, but our heart be far from God. And he says in verse 9, in vain they worship me, teaching his doctrines the commandments of men. Jesus said, I'll tell you one thing, I will not accept false worship. I must worship God according to his pattern. And I'll tell you what, in Malachi 3:8, when you go back and look at the prophet of God, notice he has a statement to make for the people about not worshiping according to the pattern. Notice in Malachi 3:8, he said, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. How have they robbed God? They robbed him not only of what he was due, but of his glory. When we don't give God our all, when we don't put our heart into it, then we rob God. But then I want you to think about something else in our study. I want you to think about that God deserves our best. I want you to think about that God is the great I am, that God deserves our best in worship. He doesn't deserve half-hearted praise. He deserves it all. In Malachi chapter 1 and verse 14, notice at the latter part, he said, for I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. He is the great king. He deserves for us to bow before him. I'll tell you something. What happens so oftentimes is something else becomes our passion. It's not wrong to enjoy sports. It's not wrong to enjoy video games. It's not wrong to have recreation. But I'll tell you one thing. Does it mean more to us than what God has done for us? I'll tell you. When worship becomes boring, it's because we're not putting our heart in it. But I'll tell you one last thing. How many doors should be shut? The Lord will not accept false worship, half-hearted worship, and worship that does not give him glory. Shut the door if you're not going to do as God instructed. And shut the door. Because one day, I'll tell you something, it would be better to shut the door than to say we're following Christ and lead others astray. Let us be people who follow the pattern of God. Let us pray. Our Father, you're so good to us and we're so thankful. May our worship always be in harmony with your will. And when we fall short or go astray, Father, may we come back to the pattern. May you help us, Father, to see in your word that which gives you glory. May our heart always be given to you. And may we love you with all our heart, soul, mind, strength, and praise you every day that we live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.